for WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Virginia's first commercial wind farm gets another delay, says the company that's been wanting to build it for 2 years now. The Wildlife Center of Virginia has now treated 43 bald eagles this year, many of them with lead in their system from bullets. Note to hunters, there are alternatives to lead bullets. And politics, we survey the 58th House District near Charlottesville. We'll take a look at the latest polls and see what our representatives are up to. This is the WMRA Daily for Friday, October 27.
Support for the WMRA Daily comes from Blue Ridge Community College, offering small classes, student clubs, sports, and financial aid while living close to family and friends. Registration for the fall semester is happening now at the Weir's Cave campus or online at brcc.edu.
The developer of what would be Virginia's first commercial wind farm has delayed construction plans for the second time in 2 years. Charlottesville-based Apex Clean Energy told the Roanoke Times Wednesday the company no longer plans to begin work on the Botetourt County project by the end of this year. The company still plans to build 25 turbines on a mountain ridge that would generate 75 megawatts of power, but the timeline is uncertain. Initial plans called for construction to begin at the end of 2016. The company acknowledged in a recent public meeting it has not yet found a utility willing to purchase the power that would be generated. Project opponents say the wind on that particular mountain ridge is not strong enough to make the project viable. Also, the Wildlife Center of Virginia has admitted its 43rd bald eagle patient of the year, setting a record for single-year admissions during the center's 35-year history. Officials say nearly 70% of the eagles admitted had measurable amounts of lead in their blood. Six of the eagles had lead levels that were even too high for the center's in-house lead analyzer to measure. Bald eagles can ingest small fragments of lead ammunition as they scavenge deer carcasses or other animals that have been shot. A lead fragment the size of a grain of rice can kill a bald eagle. The center has been encouraging hunters to stop using lead-based ammunition. The latest Wasson poll released this morning shows Democrat Ralph Northam hitting the 50% mark for the first time, leading among all but one demographic group, WCVE's Charles Fishburne reports.
Despite other polls showing a tighter race, even a statistical toss-up, Wasson has consistently put Northam ahead, this time at 50-43%. Assistant Director Rachel Bitterkofer.
Ralph Northam has a 7-point advantage over Ed Gillespie. And what's really notable, this is the first time that Northam has cracked 50%.
She says Northam's lead is built on strong support in Northern Virginia, Hampton Roads, and Richmond.
He's leading amongst men, amongst women, across all age brackets. The only demographic group in which Northam is trailing Gillespie is with white voters.
The poll also shows Democrats Justin Fairfax and Mark Herring leading their Republican opponents, but by tighter margins. Charles Fishburne, WMRA News.
Virginia's candidates for governor are talking about taxes on the campaign trail, some more than others. Democrat Ralph Northam doesn't have a comprehensive tax plan, and Republican Ed Gillespie is proposing a cut in personal income tax. That's the first in more than 40 years. Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopain reports.
Gillespie's calling for a moderate reduction in personal income tax that'll put hundreds back in people's pockets. But Sally Hudson, an economist at the University of Virginia, says tax cuts like that give more back to top earners, don't create big jumps in economic growth.
When you think about what someone does with more money when they're already at the top end of the income distribution, it's not doing the kinds of things that necessarily generate jobs in Virginia.
And it would mean the state was collecting less in taxes, says Paul Backman with the right-leaning Beacon Hill Institute.
If a Gillespie administration is prepared to slow the growth of spending to accommodate the tax cuts, and they go into that with eyes wide open, then I think that they won't find that problem.
The Gillespie plan recognizes the need to slow the growth in state spending, but lawmakers may have a tough time deciding exactly what to slow spending on. Public education, Medicaid, putting money away in the rainy day fund. Gillespie says the fact that Virginia lawmakers face those difficult decisions is a sign our economy is struggling, and a tax cut would be a first step towards revival. In Richmond, I'm Mallory Nopain.
Trump isn't the only person in Washington trying to undo President Obama's legacy, one powerful member of the Virginia congressional delegation is also trying to take action against what he sees as a problem created in the last administration. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope has the story.
During the Obama years, the Department of Justice had a controversial practice of forcing corporate wrongdoers to make donations to third-party groups as part of settlement agreements. After the mortgage meltdown, for example, banks were required to donate to Habitat for Humanity or the Urban League. Republican Congressman Bob Goodlatte of Roanoke says that's a slush fund.
The donation beneficiaries were Obama administration allies. These include the Neighborhood Assistance Corporation of America, whose director calls himself a bank terrorist.
As a response, Goodlatte introduced a bill that was approved by the House Tuesday afternoon that forbids the Justice Department from requiring donations as part of settlement agreements. That's even though Attorney General Jeff Sessions has already announced he won't require those kinds of donations. Democratic Congressman David Cicilline of Rhode Island recalls how this practice helped after the Deepwater Horizon disaster.
And as part of that settlement, there were state-based cleanup. There was funding for the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation for remediation, things that were directly responsive to the harm caused, which you couldn't quantify to an individual person.
Democrats predict the bill will die in the Senate, and a similar bill from Goodlatte went nowhere last year. But Republicans say they're hopeful that this one will have more luck. I'm Michael Pope.
Finally, while Virginia overall favored Hillary Clinton by 5 points in last year's election, voters in the 58th Virginia House District favored Donald Trump by almost 20 points. Republican Rob Bell is running for his 9th consecutive term in the district, which includes parts of Albemarle, Fluvanna, Rockingham, and Greene counties. In most of his races, Bell has won with comfortable majorities. In fact, most years he has run unopposed. But not this year. WMRA's Jordy Yeager has the next installment in our series of candidate profiles.
For the first time in 8 years, Republican delegate Rob Bell has a Democratic challenger. Kellen Squire is a 32-year-old former assistant manager at Home Depot who's never before held political office.
A year ago, I would have been one of those sort of armchair quarterback, those jerks that like to complain about the process, but don't, it's easy to complain. It's really easy.
For the last 6 years, Squire's worked as a nurse at the University of Virginia Hospital. He says lawmakers in Richmond need to do a better job of preventing crises in people's lives so that the full weight of treatment doesn't fall on emergency rooms, fire departments, and police.
And they're asking us to sort of hold the line for them so they don't have to govern. And finally, I reached a point where I was like, I could sit around and bellyache about it, or I could try and do something about it, and here I am.
Bell is a practicing attorney in Charlottesville, and in 2013 lost to Mark Obenchain in a bid for state attorney general. For many years, he served on the House Courts of Justice Committee, where he's set to become chairman next year if reelected. Bell pointed to his work on that panel as some of his proudest achievements. Last session, he helped discover the large amounts of court-ordered restitution has not been paid to crime victims.
Pain and suffering. This is just for actual out-of-pocket costs like medical bills or if something was destroyed, paying to have it replaced. And what we found is that because no one takes ownership over this, year by year, restitution doesn't get paid. And we had a shocking figure. We found that a grand total of $230 million had not been paid to crime victims over the years.
Bell introduced a bill to require probation for people convicted of crimes until they pay off their court-ordered restitution. The measure passed the Republican-controlled House and Senate, but was vetoed by Democratic Governor Terry McAuliffe, who stated that the bill would be a move towards criminalizing poverty. Squire says if he gets elected, he wants to focus on redrawing voting districts to be less gerrymandered.
So I want to just go back to basics. If we fix that, it's definitely going to mean, people are like, well, that'll mean some Democrats are going to lose seats too. And I'm like, yeah, probably. And them's the breaks. If they, I've made a lot of friends and stuff like that, run as a Democrat. But if it's better for democracy, then oh well.
Squire also says he wants to limit the influence that big corporations and ultra-wealthy donors have on political campaigns, and he's got his sights set on several other economic issues as well.
I'm sort of unique. I've had people call me a a libertarian, if that makes sense. The government needs to step in where necessary, but otherwise it needs to keep its hands off. And so, like I said, we work with companies. We say, what do you need to hire XYZ employee, or where are you? Because like I said, we have hundreds of thousands of jobs that are open now that we can't fill because we're not trained. So we need to go to those employers and say, where are we not, are we not providing a skill? Are we not giving people the support?
Bell, too, says he's focused on creating more jobs in the district. He's opposed to raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour, but is keeping a close eye on how to use lower tax rates and other tools to incentivize companies to bring their business to Virginia.
We need to be very aware of these costs that we impose on employers. It make us less competitive with nearby states. I think locally we need to do all we can to bring in these employers. Again, not everybody is going to go to college. Not everybody is going to have the skills that allow you to work at UVA, you know, in some advanced capacity. And we need to have those jobs available when someone graduates high school. They've maybe done an apprentice program. Maybe they got a GED. But we want them to have a job that allows them to advance, make more money as they succeed.
So far, Bell has outraised Squire 6-1, $515,000 to Squire's $83,000. Election day is Tuesday, November 7th. For WMRA News, I'm Jordy Yeager.
Learn more about that race and check out our election 2017 coverage at WMRA.org. Next week, we'll have a look at two more Shenandoah Valley House District races, and I'll talk with the candidates for governor. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Libicki. Thanks for joining me. Enjoy your Friday.